Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. It's my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover on television every day to enter my world of passion, theater, the arts. And today, I can't, this is, you're going to see a very large group with me today, probably the largest podcast group I ever had, because there's no way to not have everybody here. Because showing at the Paramount Theater right now is the full Monty. It's just such a favorite musical of mine. And so many of these people are my favorites in the city, some new to me, but some new, but some who I've worked with before, and they're all here. So I think we'll see all of you right now. And greetings to everybody from the full Monty at the Paramount in Aurora. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
And a little
Hi.
bitty people have to, you know, I have this thing, and people who know me know that for me to try to leave the city, like it's got to be really something that takes me out. To Paramount. Want to go see Little Mermaid? I've seen it. No. But when Full Monty was up, it's like, no, I'm going. I love it. Oh, no. Well, Little Mermaid's a great show, Jackson. I'm not saying anything. But anyway, I had to get out there. And this is just such a great show. So, congratulations. Let me start by just introducing you quickly with so many of you, and we have such limited time. But you know, it's an ensemble cast. It's hard to say there's a star of the show, but I guess our character eyes go to Jerry. And so Ben Main, thanks for being with me. And Ben, you this is this a first show for you at the Paramount?
Yeah, this is, I've only lived in Chicago now for about a year and a half. So I'm like new to the city, new to the area, kind of getting my feet wet a little bit. Yeah.
All
I had
right, you
never
too.
even seen a show at Paramount until I stepped into the theater, and it's beautiful. It's massive.
It, it isn't it unbelievable? Yeah.
It's gorgeous. I was blown away when I got here. I was like, holy cow, this is amazing.
It's like the Nederlander and the Cadillac, moved west and just
Yeah.
came out there with this
I
beautiful
know. I
show.
felt the exact same way.
Yeah. And by the way, after playing your son isn't here, so we can talk true about him. No, I'm kidding. And also, and joining us, I'll walk around the screen at least as I see it. Jackson Evans, you've done so many things, Boys in the Band and on and on. And sweet. Oh, and you just did the phenomenal thing at Porchlight with Reno Sweeney and all of that. That was just amazing. So always good to be with you. Bernard Dodson, I think this is our first time working with you. You plays, oh, Jackson, I should have said, who plays Harold in this show. And Bernard, you, of course, playing Horse. The great
Yes.
Andre de Shields, originated that role. I think you know
I
that.
do know that. That's
I
so
saw that.
amazing. I
Back
love Andre
on.
de Shields.
Yeah. And Ben, you were up against Patrick Wilson in your role. So sorry
It's
about
tough. It's tough.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Fain, also very well known in the city, just off Jersey Boys. You're playing Malcolm. I recently
Yes.
interviewed the original Malcolm too, who was just here for, I think, Pretty Woman or one of those shows, and that he was in. And so he was. I might have the show wrong, but he was recently in town. And Diego Vasquez Gomez, who plays Ethan, what are the great roles in the show? It is so much fun. And now, Liz Pacheco, I'm going to have you say, give everybody for once, so we've heard your full Polish name. What would that be if you were to?
Elżbieta Ania Teresa Pazik.
Why
It's
is that
Liz
not?
Pazik, though. Most people know me as Liz. Yes.
Liz, why don't you just use that as your stage name? You would, there's no.
Yeah, no. No, I thought of it when I was little, but no. When
I
I was
love
little, and I do mean before I turned that grade. Yeah.
it. And for you, of course, your role of Jeanette is so important. And by the way, I must share with you that I did see this originally with Kathleen Freeman on Broadway, but also a good friend of mine stepped in for the national tour, and that was Kay Ballard. And so you step into some really amazing shoes when you are taking on the role of Jeanette.
I love both of those. I got to meet Kay Ballard and sing for her years ago. What a gem of a performer and just a person as well.
Yeah, I stayed with her out in Palm Springs once. She lived in Desi Arnaz's old home,
Yeah.
and I slept in the room, apparently in the bed that Desi Arnaz Jr. lost his virginity, and I'll tell you that story some other time. But I got stories for you, Diego. By the way, I do want you to know that here I'm a huge David Yazbek fan. This is the original score from Full Monty. It is signed
Wow.
by Yazbek. When I interviewed him, I said, "Please sign something," but I let him pick the song. Ben, what song do you think he signed?
I want to say, okay, my first guess was Scrap, but
Yes,
I don't know.
you're correct.
Okay, yeah.
You are correct. He went with Scrap.
Yeah.
So just want to put that out there. All right, Ben, for folks who don't know what this show about, Jerry is, it kind of all revolves around him. Tell the viewers and listeners, we're in both places, what the Full Monty is all about.
Okay, so the quick summary is it's about this so the year 2000, set in Buffalo, New York. It's about this group of steel mill workers that have lost their jobs about 18 months prior. Their plant closes down and they all are going through these life hurdles, struggling to find out or figure out sort of who they are without the stamp of what they do for work. And they're all going through different struggles, like child support payments, mental health issues, sort of societal pressures. And this one guy, Jerry, my character, has this harebrained idea that they should form a group and become strippers so that they can make a bunch of money in one night, and that will solve all of their problems. And that's the whole show.
And it is. And somebody goes, really? You can make a whole musical out of it? Yeah, they made a whole movie out of it, too. So it really works. And then I wanted just a couple of characters. The reason I couldn't decide, like, who do I talk to is because, Jackson, for example, your character, Harold, is you are different in relation to these other characters in terms of, I think, the burdens you bring into the show because of your because of Harold's role.
Yeah, he's just better than them.
Yeah.
Yes. No, Harold is believes himself to be of a little bit of a higher class than some of the other blue collar steel workers. I was managing the plant, but to come with his class comes with his burden of guilt when he is also fired. And I have spent the last 6 months lying to my wife about being out of a job and just getting us further and further into debt. My wife, played by the amazing Anne Delaney. And that's why I decide to join to be strippers is because I also need some quick cash because she wants to go to Puerto Rico and we can afford that. And and all my stuff's being repossessed.
I kind of relate to her, to be honest with you, because that would be I would be that demanding in that way. So,
yeah. She's in the right. These dudes, so many of these dudes are in the wrong and the women around them are the ones who are helping them get from point A to point B. Without the women in their lives, they are a mess.
I love it. And Adam, your character, I've always felt for Malcolm. I've just always found him to be a really intriguing character. And you bring, so I never like to give things away in the podcast. Sometimes there's something and I'll say it. I don't want anybody to go, you shouldn't have said, we don't want people to know that. My favorite story on that is when I interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen. And I said up front, anything I shouldn't say. And they went, well, don't say that. Don't say that Connor is dead. I'm like, he dies in the first 2 seconds of the show. Why, what am I giving away when I say that? You don't have the show without that. Anyway, so I won't say what I have in mind, Adam. Maybe it's okay to say, but there's something in struggles that Malcolm is dealing with that we don't learn about at the initial part of the show, but you talk about your character and you decide what you want to say.
So after losing his job, he's at home a lot more with his kind of suffocating, ailed mother. And so he's just sort
in
of...
in that order.
Yes, he's just a little depressed. And he's looking for any sort of avenue out. That's all I'll say on that.
Okay. Then I won't go to Diego next. I'll go to Bernard. Great. Depending on what you said, Diego was coming up next. But Bernard. So the role of Horace, which Horace has this just amazingly humorous role. There's so much to your character that I'll put it this way: we don't see, but we probably imagine. And I just love the way it gets created in the role you have to play. But talk about how Horace fits in.
Well, I mean, without giving away too much, because there is a lot there. He is the oldest of all of the guys in becoming a stripper. I mean, he's lived a lot of life. He's kind of a curmudgeon. Older man, and he loves the ladies. He's been sort of in the shadow of his of antidotes that his father has given him when he was growing up, and letting him know that once he got older, that something really special is going to happen to him. I don't want to give that away that number, but it's thrilling, and it just really sort of takes the audience on a ride, and I'm having an amazing time playing that and playing that that absurdity. And he does have an arc where he does come around and he realizes that things aren't just always what he has thought them to be. And you just sort of you fall in love with him. It's a great character.
You do. And certainly I think the character Jeanette has a special relationship that developed there as well. We'll get to you in just a second, Liz, but Diego,
yes,
your character is just so goofy and Ethan is so much fun. And really doesn't seem to have the cares of the world that everybody else does, or does he?
Yeah, I think that Ethan, as I have gotten to know him through playing him, he really knows that if he gets a couple of things right, that he will find the love and fun in the world. So for him, he's just obsessed with this one trick that he saw Donald O'Connor do in Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. And he knows that if he does that successfully, the world will love him and celebrate him. And I think he learns throughout the course of the show, amongst many other things, that it's all about connection, and that the love in his community has always been there. So it's really a blast playing him and having those discoveries.
And you had to do a little training, right? To, let's just say, for the sound effect purposes.
Yeah, I honestly, I feel really blessed. I graduated from school recently, and one of my favorite things was stage combat. Our teacher couldn't keep me from falling on the ground and pretending to hit my head. So it was really useful for the process.
Perfectly cast. That's all I want to say.
I was going to say, I guess typecasting is what happened there when Licorti in on this. And Liz, I'm going to ask a question that I don't think will give anything away, because I don't think it's never answered in the show. Where the hell does Jeanette come from?
God.
Who is Jeanette?
Jeanette literally sees that they need help. And she's like, oh my God, talk about suffocate. I'm at home with a guy who's so old that he falls asleep sitting, wherever he is. That's how I feel about my Lou, who I love. We finally got it together. But, after seven other marriages. So, I'm happy to help these guys out. And I'm a bit of a curmudgeon myself. So Horace and I get along just fine because we're older. When he starts talking about the dances he does, I know them all. And I know how to play them. And I'm going to tell them what to do and how to do their stuff. And then I get to love them. That whole process with them. And in the movie, there was no Jeanette. When they wrote the movie, the guys did their rehearsals with a boombox. So I can't tell you. I've lived my whole life in this business, and it's prepared me for Jeanette. And my Aunt Helen.
Who might have been Adam's mother. I don't know in this thing.
She was great. She was great.
By the way, just out of curiosity, I did mention up front the Kathleen Freeman, who is great. I'm sure you all know who she is. Great character actress in a lot of Jerry Lewis movies and whatever. And Kay Ballard. Did that influence you? Because this role, for me, it's like I have that in my mind when I watched you. But did you say, no, this is about Liz playing this role. Forget those people. Or did you give some thought to the people who preceded you in that role?
I didn't. But I mean, I knew who did. I mean, and I didn't watch it. I didn't watch them do it or anything like that. Because Jeanette Paul, I know Jeanette. It's not that I am Jeanette, but I do know her. I know her well. And I love her. I think she's great. It's so well written. Oh my God. The part, all these parts are so well written.
And the music.
I mean, you have to be really bad not to be good at Jeanette. The words are there for you.
Well, and your song, right? You go back to Sinatra, you got it all. It's part of it.
And I want to say, look it up when people don't laugh about Arthur Godfrey. I want to say, oh, for God's sake, look it up.
Look how you have to automatically go into that pose, right?
Because that's who it is, right? Yeah.
Exactly right. So, Ben, we're going to come back to kind of the dynamics between everybody, and we're getting a lot of that, but there is sort of another level in the show, which is why Jerry is so critical. And that is about your son in the show and your family dynamics, because as much as there's serious stuff, there's economic stuff, there's all this, but for you and for Harold, relationship stuff, but especially for Jerry, relationship stuff in a whole bunch of directions.
Yeah. The thing that he cares most about in the whole world is his son. And he knows that at the top of the show, but I think that he comes to realize it more and more throughout the course of the show. Especially as he's struggling with who he is in the world, and he realizes that a father is the most important thing to him. So all of these relationships are super important to him, but the thing that I hold on to throughout the whole show is my son. And I try and, keep an eye on him in every room, whether it's at the weird dance studio where he's learning how to dance upstage with, anybody, or whether it's like on the other side of the rehearsal hall when he's trying to do the funky chicken with Bernard, I think that's sort of a fatherly thing. You got to keep an eye on him at all times. And it kind of grounds me throughout the whole course of the show. And the two boys that are doing it with me are just both so amazing. And they're both so wildly different, which is also so crazy. Oh. One of them is 11. One of them is 14. And the energy that they bring is like polar opposite, and so fun to explore both of those directions, which is so cool.
That's it. Wait, so is Jerry different depending on which one is playing your son? Is Jerry different, or is like, no, Jerry's Jerry and they just happen to change out?
Jerry is Jerry, But yeah, absolutely. You can't not change with, you know, I mean, there's definitely one kid who's more like, I feel the need to protect him. And one kid who's more like, you're growing up to be my parent, basically, in the show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Adam, talk a bit about the, you know, all of you in talking about your characters right now almost gave some backstory. It's not in the script. So it's almost as though you each have given some thought as to what your characters have done. So can you talk to me how much when you thought about Malcolm and Diego, you can kind of come into this as well. I mean, what thought did you give to who is Malcolm? Who is Ethan? It sounds like you gave thought to that.
Yeah, for sure. So I think with all, he doesn't have a lot of male figures in his life, you know, coming from a single parent home and maybe not a lot of like father figures. And so I feel like in Hot Metal, he finds those in places, maybe with Harold and maybe with Jerry even, or Davey, that he didn't have before. So kind of like supplemental parent there.
And friends. And he's got friends.
And friends. Yeah. And he didn't have a lot of, you know, role models of who, like, who he could be as a man. So that's kind of where I approach
and
learning about Malcolm, I guess. Yeah.
Diego, how deep is Ethan?
You know, it kind of depends on the show, but I think Ethan, for the most part, he benefits the most from being very not deep. I think he's one of those people that, like, you reach in, and if you have to, like, put more than just, like, the tip of your finger into the answer, he's like, no, it's not worth it, and he moves on, you know?
What do you mean, depending on the show?
I mean, I think this is just my acting philosophy. I really like to bring where I'm at to the start of the show. And every show, I discover something new about Ethan. So I think it just depends on the show and what I'm noticing from my fellow actors on stage.
That's really... Okay, yeah. Is anybody else curious? Can you just give us one example of, like, what happened over the weekend or something when you walked on and you noticed something? You got me curious, and maybe they are.
Yeah. This last show, I remember... sometimes towards the end of the show, I just start getting, like, really overwhelmed emotionally. And I think it really fits what the character is going through. And this last time, I remember just being like, this, doing the show over and over again, sometimes you seek for a way to anchor yourself and a way to notice what's different. And I was like, this is the only night that the show's going to happen this exact way. And that fits so well into the night of when they all, you know, end up going, the full title of the show. And yeah, it was just really nice to, like, notice everyone in the audience and say, this is special tonight. Yeah.
All right. That works. Jackson, I always think of you play a lot of goofy roles that are out there, or, you know, lighter roles, and you do the best with them. Oh, maybe not Boys in the Band, by the way. That was a little
sure.
But no, when I think of you in, you know, in, why am I keep saying Reno Sweeney?
The cold anything court. Goes.
Thank you. it just flew away. But in this show, it's also a little more subdued than some of the ways. So, were you attracted to the Harold role? Did you say, this is for me? Talk about the kind of the expansiveness of how Jackson likes to play these roles that have oftentimes a humorous component to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's my fatal flaw that I can't help but make a joke. So even though Harold is pretty stick up the butt, pretty square, there's too many jokes to be had outside of. But what I've loved about Harold in this show is, like you said, I'm often the clown. Evelyn was the best kind of joy in Carmen. And Harold, it's so fun to be the straight man to all of these clowns. Because what I would even say about Ethan is, whether or not he's deep, he's incredibly present. Ethan is always exactly where he is. And I'm just thinking about right now. Whereas in Harold is thinking about all the things he has to deal with, all of the other issues that are on his plate. And it is really fun to find my own jokes, but also to support someone else in how to set up their joke, or how to just be still, because right now you should be looking at this person because what they're doing is hilarious. What I will say is, who is missing from this is David Michael Grant, who plays Dave, who is the funniest human both on the planet and on our stage. And just getting to watch him do a joke is thrilling. And, like, I'm not a part of any of them, but I so excited to just stand next to him and be like, this guy's amazing.
Yes, I love it. And by the way, full disclosure, he was absolutely invited to be with us. The truth is, we don't know where he is right now. So, but when you see him later, you're going to say,
yes.
Thank you. It's a surprise. Yes. We have to come see the show. We're not going to give it all away.
Exactly.
You have to come see
Jared. And Bernard, I also feel the sense that the horse is not necessarily driven by the money here. He's driven by, there's other things that bring him to audition for this full Monty kind of thing. I mean, maybe money's a factor. It is for everybody, but.
Well, he's also very lonely. I mean, he's also dealing with an aunt who has leukemia. So, you know, there's hospital bills, there's all kinds of things. And he's a deeply feeling human being, you know, and in the midst of it, he wants to try and figure out, you know, his ability to be such a wonderful dancer. Will this help out the situation? Will this bring some more money to him? And we're talking about characterizations and thinking about it before. There are so many people in my family that are this character, and mainly my father. So I get to reenact some of his movements. His walking ability. I get to wear that wonderful hat in the funeral that reminds me of him every single time I put that suit on. But yeah, it is literally everybody that's in every male figure that's I have encountered in my family is horse.
Of course, people are now saying funeral. Well, we're not going to necessarily tell them exactly what funeral, except to say it's a good chance to practice your dance moves.
Yes.
So
yes. We do practice our dance moves.
Yes.
It's a place that we need to rehearse. So we've just found another place to rehearse.
It's just right. It's this random funeral that may be going on somewhere.
Yes.
Right. Who knows? The local Weinstein brothers. Liz, I also get the sense, although your character is very funny and all of that, there's a part of me that sees her as the audience's point of view. Because she says a lot of things that, as much as we love these characters, you say things the audience is going, she's not far off on that.
Yeah, well, I'm witnessing their, you know, I'm witness to their process, which is kind of what audiences see every time they see a show. They're witnessing processes that we as actors, you know, bring to our roles and telling the story. So it's fun to see the boys grow. It's fun to see who they are. Do they get it? I'm trying to, you know, when I first talk and introduce myself to them and to the audience, I'm like, okay, come on. That was the pep talk. Don't you get it? And they don't. But then later, you know, they lean on her and she leans on them. I mean, there is something there between Horace and Jeanette too. And I think it's because of their age. You know, we kind of get each other. And the other kids are like my kids after a while.
It is true.
I don't like kids. No, but yet I like the kid by the end of the show. You know, we're doing stuff together. So
there's no question. We see a special connection between Jeanette and Horace, which is just they're relating, you know, at another level. All right, now I have to ask the question that I know anybody watching this is going to want me to ask. So let's just get through it and find out. But I'll try and do it in a group way. And Liz, you don't get to raise your hand for this. But did anybody, obviously the full Monty means that you will all appear in appropriate ways in various states of dress and undress. I'm sort of curious in auditioning for the role or going for it. Did any of you say, this is an issue for me, this is going to be tough? Did anybody have that view? Like, I'm not sure I want to do this because of that. And how many of you, I knew this would be Adam, and how many of you say, I don't give a crap?
I think you think about it at first and you want to be able to protect it. You want to make sure that the lighting is right. And I mean, the show's not necessarily about exposing yourself.
But people are thinking it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's all kinds of wonderful, wonderful themes that are going throughout the show. And our characters go from point A to Z and we grow and we learn. But yes, I mean, anytime you're exposing yourself that way, it's going to be uncomfortable. But I think we've gotten to a point that we trust and care about each other so much that we feel the protection amongst the group that allows us to have the freedom to just say, okay, we're ready to do this. And we've had some training. We've had some intimacy meetings constantly. And we've talked amongst ourselves about how our comfortability level. So it's just been very important for us to sort of be able to just go and do the job, but really realize that it's not just about that. It's about all of the storytelling.
And I was going to ask, there had to be intimacy training for people because there had to be a session where let's talk about this now and all of that. But Ben, you raised your hand saying you didn't really care.
Yeah. So, well, I remember listening to this show when I was in college and I loved all the songs and I thought, this is going to be an awesome part to play for me in like 15 years. And now here I am. And I was like, hell yes. Like, let's do it. So yeah, no, for me, the any nudity, any type of undress, I was just like, that is going to be something that we're going to cross when we get to it. But as far as doing the show, I was like, I'm on board. Let's go.
I love it. Adam, I follow you on Instagram, so I don't need to follow up. But Jackson, let me...
How dare you? Drop my handle at least. Like, come on.
But Jackson, so you did enjoy your show, because I did see when you were in the cast, I said, well, this might be difficult for you.
I mean, here's the thing. It's difficult for me, and this is the second time I've done the full Monty. No, I mean, I also want to do a callback to the fact that you talked about how huge this theater is, which means that many people are in the seats.
Well, that, by the way, that, let me use that follow-up for you, because as Bernard was just saying, well, we all got comfortable with each other, and that makes sense. And that's fine if you were all doing this show for each other. But you go out in front of, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands of people every night. So is that the part that gets to you every night, that we're there?
I mean, I think the thing that helps me cross the finish line, and is exactly what Bernard is talking about, is the fact that, like, what is emotionally hard for these guys is being vulnerable with each other, being vulnerable with their loved ones, being vulnerable with themselves. And the, like, physical manifestation of that is, here is all of me. Mm-hmm. And it's almost easier in the shows than it ever was in rehearsal, because we have the whole show to work up to it. Mm-hmm. We have the whole thing of all of us starting, like I am right now, pretty closed off, pretty not open, even to our wives, our spouses, our best friends. And then the play opens us all up to each other and to the audience, both metaphorically and physically. I mean, come see the show. I don't know what happens. Oh, God.
Yeah, and by the way, I should say, for those who haven't seen it, it's all very tasteful. It's all fine. Sometimes, well, wait, can I bring my kids? You can bring your kids. As far as I'm concerned, I think it's, you know, right, Diego? Bring the kids. We'll bring the kids. Let me talk about the music. We're off that topic. I'm done with that. I had to ask it, unless somebody wants to say something that I missed. But, Diego, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they actually had me retape my audition because I actually stripped in my first self-tape. And they were like, that we cannot legally share this with each other for casting purposes. I didn't show anything, but I was taking off clothes, which I was not supposed to do.
What were you supposed to, I'm sure, what was the audition? What were you supposed to do in the tape?
I was supposed to mime taking off clothes, and I had some reveals, and then I actually started taking off clothes. But for me, the end of the show, I think what really gets me through it is just seeing the audience be so excited that we're going the full Monty, that like when the final reveal happens, it's just watching all of their faces in unison light up. And because of the lighting design of the show, we can also see everyone in the audience in that moment. So it's just wonderful to hear that cheer of them being like, they actually did it. It's really thrilling.
Right. I know Adam once took his clothes off in an audition tape, and we said, Adam, it's Oklahoma. What are you doing?
Oh, my God. No, I want to jump in. I want to jump in. I want to jump in and say that when we were doing the auditions for this, I got a follow-up email from casting. I'm sure some of us did, that said, please do not take off any of your clothing for these audition tapes. And I thought, now, who would have done that?
I'm guessing they already got Diego's tape at that point and said, we better follow up.
A little bit, yeah.
I love it. I'm also the casting
director. You gotta love that, kid.
I was the casting director for the show. I don't know if you knew that. And Liz, let's talk about the music a little bit. I love David Yazbek. I'm sure you've all seen A Band's Visit. Love the way this guy's right. And when I did interview him, it was about Band's Visit, but I said, full Monty, unbelievable. Just with your experience, just talk about how phenomenal this score is. That's a
couple. Please. The entire score. I sit up in the dressing room and listen to Scrap, and I think casting did a phenomenal job to listen to these guys and the singing and the harmony. I mean, and the writing, the just everything, lyrics and music to make the music happen. It's like, you know, in 101 musical comedy class, if anybody ever took it, or even if the first musical we were ever in, I'm sure the good choreographer and director said, the reason we sing is because we have to now sing. We have to now dance. It's not just telling the story with our words, but now we are adding another dimension. And that's what's done. It's such a good formula, and the songs in it are just delightful, and or not, you know, or they're delightful or they're meaningful. Like the duet that Jackson and Jared sing as their wives are about their wives and their relationships is so touching. And you get to hear their voices.
Yeah,
on a completely different level. And same with Ben when he sings his solo. Beautiful. And then there's Jeanette's song, which is like, you know, come on, I love her. I love everything that she says. Yeah, thanks, Adam. But
And by the way, I'm going to give kudos, Adam. Your song, I mean, one of the most beautiful ballads in this thing, which Malcolm sings. I'll be honest, I've heard you sing before, Adam. I think you have a wonderful voice. But this show, I walked out. I said to my partner, I've never heard him sing like that before. So kudos to you. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. Can I offer you a little factoid, Paul? You might know it. Fox Searchlight Pictures approached Terrence McNally, the late great book writer, playwright, and he wanted a new sound for it because they were going to set it in Buffalo. And that we have, you know, Terrence McNally to thank for David Yazbek even being in the ether for musical theater at all.
Oh, that was, oh, yes, absolutely. And it works. It works so well.
Yeah.
I love it. By the way, I want to, we're going to get cut here. So I do want to listen to, not forget, I'll have the Paramount going, did you not tell everybody when it's playing until the show is playing through October 6th. So you still got some time to see it because people are going to see this soon. So this is really good. The Paramount Theater in downtown Aurora. Okay. It's not that bad. I got out there. I drove and there's, you know, what's amazing. You find parking on the street and you're like, can you do this? So it actually works. You can get tickets at ParamountAurora.com, ParamountAurora.com, the phone number of the box office. We'll put this in the thing, but 630-896-6666. I got to tell you, when I saw the show was coming, I said, oh, I love that show. And then when I saw the casting, I said, I am going out there. I just so respect those of you I've worked with before, but those not, I love you all. I mean, you're just amazing. And this show was just so impressive that and sitting next to some older people on one side, I had great fun watching them. During the show. Congratulations to all of you on a great run. Continue to break legs every night.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thanks for letting me be a little goofy with you here.
That's great. Thank you for having us.
I may make a guest appearance one night on the stage. Thank you, everybody. Full Monty through October 6th.
Holding you to it.
We look forward to seeing you again, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.